This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
Good morning, everybody. Steve Cochran off again today. So it's me, Nick DiGilio, filling in for him. And I want to thank Dane Neal for filling in for me so that I could fill in for Steve. Does anybody have any idea where Steve is?
We're not allowed to say.
Yeah, it's very secretive.
It's so mysterious. So every time I fill in for Steve, there are just very mysterious circumstances.
No, he had planned to take a vacation. And the last word we had, now, we saw him Saturday night at the comedy show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He didn't really talk about his vacation plans there. But on Friday, he said that this kind of snuck up on him. And he realized he had not made any plans or reservations to go anywhere. So I think
very last minute.
I think he's just hanging out.
I think he's golfing. He's golfing.
Yeah, I'm sure it's warm enough for golf.
Got sure, it's 35 degrees outside.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean this minute, but later. Well,
tomorrow's supposed to be nice.
Yeah, it's going
to
be up in the 50s. So he'll today? Be out there. I bet he golfed yesterday. I bet he's golfing today.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Other than that, we have no idea.
No. I don't either. They just call me and go, hey, you want to do the show? And I go, yeah.
Yeah.
So I got the call Friday. And I said, all right. It's probably after you talked with Steve.
You got the call Friday.
I did get the call on Friday. They're like, hey, you want to do the show on Monday? And I'm like, sure. And Tuesday? Yeah. So there you go. Well, I'm here. It's Nick DiGilio. We got a fun show lined up for you and some good stuff coming up. Kid of the Week is coming up in just a little while, about a half an hour. We're going to talk to a really amazing little girl about some of the incredible stuff that she does and why she's Kid of the Week. And we've got a Hawkopedia a little bit later on, a special one, though. Dave, that
yep.
you're gonna be talking about because it is game day. There is a Hawks game tonight. They're playing Minnesota Wild. They are at home. No, they're in Minnesota.
They're at
yeah,
Minnesota.
They're in
Minnesota.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
They're in Minnesota. And we got Nicholas Chalmers with Breakfast with a Blackhawk coming up a little bit later.
The Hammer.
Yes. Nell Minow, the movie mom, is going to join us. Have you guys ever heard Nell?
The movie mom.
She's been on the overnight show?
She's been on, yeah, when I was on weekends and for I'm she
yeah,
was
I think
sure
so.
I have, yeah.
She's Newton Minow's daughter. And you guys know Newton Minow.
The Vast Wasteland.
Yes, The Vast Wasteland. And she,
I don't mean he. I mean,
no, that's what he said about television. That's what he famously said about television. He's a pretty amazing guy, and Nell is his daughter, and she's been a friend of the show for a long time. She is the movie mom, and if you check out moviemom.com, she writes movie reviews and covers the entertainment scene from the point of view of a parent. So when we have her on a little bit later on, we'll open up the phone lines and you guys can call in and say, hey, I was thinking about taking my kid to see, you know, Deadpool. Should I? Or any of these parent related questions. Cause sometimes it's hard to figure out what you can take your kids to and what's appropriate and what isn't.
And your reviews aren't necessarily geared towards parents.
Not really. No, that's why, it's a good counterbalance.
Right.
And Nell is really wonderful, too. And one of the reasons I like Nell so much is we agree like 95% of the time about movies. So that's always a lot of fun. So she'll be in a little bit later on. Rick Pearson is going to join us to talk politics as well. And so now you guys, Dave, you're still recovering from the comedy show. Now, you didn't perform, but actually, Mary, you didn't. Oh, Andrea's not here, by the way.
Right. It was Andrea and,
Andrea and Kevin
and Ross,
and Steve
and John DeCoss.
And John DeCoss, right.
That's who, yes.
But you guys were thinking about going up as a duo, maybe?
No.
We weren't thinking about anything. We were like thrown under the bus.
It was put up, it was put out there by somebody on the stage
yes.
whose name rhymes with Cochran.
Rhymes with Cochran?
Yes.
Yeah. I thought it was DeCoss as well.
Or it might have been DeCoss, one of them. Said that we're doing the next one.
Dave and I were cowering out in the audience.
Yeah. Well, as I was saying yesterday, you guys could make a great duo, don't you think? Like a comedy team?
Well, that's kind of what I'm thinking. That was my suggestion afterwards. I thought, well, why don't we do like a...
Stiller and Mira.
Yeah,
if we're
going to
bomb,
like
we might
that.
As well bomb together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it better? I don't know. We don't know what we're
it's
doing.
It's not
we
one of those discussed things it. That's been on my bucket list.
No.
Yeah.
Doing stand-up, not on your
bucket really.
Somehow I thought that was a dream of yours, Dave.
I mean,
to do some stand-up.
I would do it. It's not.
Yeah, it's.
I'm not terrified by it.
It's like making a speech in front of a class. It's just freaking me out.
You have to understand, this audience, though, is very forgiving. It is very supportive.
Yeah.
Except a few texters.
It's different.
Named.
It's different, you know, like the kind of crowd that you guys, that they perform for on Saturday. It's a very friendly crowd.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about texters.
Yeah.
Nobody's gotten anything thrown at them yet.
Yet?
We just had that wonderful, we had that wonderful heckler on Saturday night, a 95-year-old man. He was awesome. He was hilarious.
You got heckled? They got
well,
heckled?
He wasn't heckling.
He was participating. He was sitting right in front of me.
Yes.
Oh.
94.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, he was 94. Come on, don't age
he's
him
He's still
a year.
Working at Nordstrom's. He was great. He was, you know.
Wait.
Yeah.
He's a 94-year-old dude working at Nordstrom's?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In the shoe department.
In women's shoes
shoe department.
At Old Orchard. And his daughter.
Oh, I've heard about this guy.
His daughter lives in Milwaukee, a devoted WGN listener, and she drove down. They came to the show with her dad, and he was sitting right in front of us. And so whenever John DeCoste had a question for the audience, Irwin shouted out the answer.
Oh, that was his name, Irwin, huh?
You want that, though. That's good.
Oh, it was
so
great.
So it's like audience participation.
And he had this great, strong voice, and he was... hilarious.
See, that's what I mean. That kind
of crowd. He should do an act.
That kind of crowd. You should have brought him up on
Irwin
stage.
Irwin should have done an act.
Yeah.
We'll bring him next time.
Bring Irwin up with you guys.
Instead of us, we'll have Irwin.
Yeah. Just bring Irwin out. You guys can introduce Irwin. That'll be
there
your participation.
Go.
That's
good idea.
All right. Well, that was just. Now, have they decided when the next one is going to be for you guys?
No, there is one coming up apparently with
May
the 20th. Is that the WGN TV?
I think so, because Hannah Stanley, I believe, is performing at that one. It's like a May 21st, or I don't know where it is. I thought it was at the Rouse Center.
There's
but I'm
one
not
coming up with the WGN TV morning show,
oh,
I believe.
With Thomas Sulo and those guys?
That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah. Okay.
So I don't know the exact date.
There's a couple of them.
There's one on May 21st. Somebody's doing something May 21st.
we don't know.
That's as specific as we get here.
That's all we know.
Something is happening somewhere on May 21st.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We got to take a break here. We got traffic. And Mary, it's nice to have you actually down in the studio, Showcase studio
Thanks.
With us.
It's good to be here if you could turn some heat on.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning, everybody. 621 on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio, that's me, in for Steve Cochran. It is a Tuesday morning. You're right? Tuesday? Yes, it's Tuesday.
Tuesday.
I get a little confused when I'm not working my regular 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. shift. Well, I'm confused all the time anyway. But yes, we're here until 10 a.m. 312-981-7200 is the phone number and the text number. And I'm going to throw out a text question in a few minutes that we can look to some answers a little bit later on. But we got to get to this story that broke around right around 1:45-ish this morning. And slowly details started coming in about this hijacked airplane that landed in Cyprus from Egypt Air. It was bound from Alexandria to Cairo, but it was hijacked and diverted to Cyprus. And the details came in slowly, but it's turned out to be a kind of a strange story. And it's still, you know, happening right now as we speak. Tom Rivers from ABC News joins us. Tom, how are you?
We're doing okay, Nick. Yeah, you're right. This is a strange one, but let's just walk our way through
Please,
it.
Please, yeah.
The plane came down at Larnaca, and the good news was that most of the passengers, 55 passengers, allowed to get off as we speak. There's just a handful left on board. The captain, the first officer, a stewardess, a security officer, three passengers, and the hijacker who says he has a suicide belt on. Now, they're taking him at face value. He might just have, you know, socks shoved under his shirt, but they're not taking any chances. And they're saying, look, so far so good. Negotiations are ongoing. People were allowed to leave calmly. It was not chaotic, anything like that. So far, so good. In fact, the president of Cyprus was talking with a European official about other things, security and refugees. Anyway, the question came up in press, and he said, look, it looks like a woman's involved in this whole thing. So, like, there's something to do with a domestic nature. He wants to see his estranged wife or something of that nature. So that's what we're looking at right now. Also, Cypriot state media have been reporting he may as well be saying, I want the release of some prisoners in Egypt. So that's another twist, another dimension on this. So this thing is ongoing. The plane is on the tarmac in southern Cyprus as we speak. And we'll follow it through the day. I don't think this thing's going to go too long, but a strange one indeed.
This is a very strange story. You know, Tom, when it started to break overnight, you know, I was checking the internet, and the first, you know, breaking news that you heard was that a plane was hijacked from Egyptian Air. And, of course, immediately you think the worst. You know, immediately you think terrorist, you think, oh, this is going to be terrible. And it's bad that it happened, obviously. But this story, as the breaking news kept getting, you know, more details, it just kept getting weirder and weirder, Tom.
I know. This feels like dog day afternoon. I don't know what's going on here. In fact, the foreign ministry in Cyprus is saying this guy might be a little bit unstable, might have some issues going on there. But that's okay if you can get everybody off safely, including him, and maybe you can get some help. But fingers crossed this thing doesn't take a turn down a violent road. But so far, so good. And the negotiators, they say there's at least two teams working this guy. They're going real softly with it, and they just want this thing to end peacefully.
Do you happen to know, have you heard whether they got a hold of this guy's ex-wife or the person that he wants to speak to?
Yeah, the media. Now, some of the stuff is official. From Cyprus, the media as well. She has been in contact. She either is at the airport or heading to the airport. So, sounds like a bad B-movie, but that's kind of where we are right now.
The last time a plane was hijacked in that area, I think it was Egypt Air, right? Was about like 30 years ago. And it turned out poorly, obviously.
Yeah, you remember those pictures, those famous wire service pictures. You're absolutely right. And it's kind of an old school kind of a thing to do. We haven't heard about it for a while. But the twist now is back in the 70s, you didn't have the hijackers wearing suicide vests.
That's right.
And that's a twist. The question, if he actually has a legitimate one, how the heck did he get it through screening? Because, you know, security's been beefed up in Egypt over the past few months.
That's the big question. Yeah, Tom, if indeed he did, that is the huge question, especially, you know, in that area. But not only that, Tom, after Brussels, security is heightened and huge everywhere.
I forget which where it was going, but there was a Cairo plane that was supposed to leave, I think within the hour, to the States. I'd have to look it up where it was going, but that's been at least postponed for now. I think they're doing even more screening as we speak. So, yes, a heightened sense of let's not anything slip through. Let's be very, very thorough today and make sure that everything is quiet and calm.
Right. So at this point, negotiations are underway. He may or may not have asked for the release of prisoners, which this is kind of a sketchy thing that you were talking about.
Yep, exactly. And other than that, we may well find out that his former wife is yakking to him at the tarmac. Who knows?
Right. Wow.
But
okay.
Maybe we'll say, okay, everything, we'll sort this out, and we'll deal with your issues. Come on down the steps, and let's talk it over.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, Tom Rivers, I really appreciate you jumping in here and giving us some details. It's a strange story, and you know, obviously, we'll keep you posted as to what's going on.
You bet.
Thank you, Tom. Tom Rivers from ABC News. What a crazy story, you know?
Bizarre.
Really strange. And I was telling you off the air, Dave, that I was, you know, looking at the updates, and, you know, obviously the first thing that popped into my mind was the worst. I mean, in this day and age, that's what you think. You think, oh, my God. And then, as soon as I heard it's a domestic thing, and this guy wants to talk to his ex-wife, and he mentioned Dog Day Afternoon, that's exactly what I thought of, was Dog Day Afternoon.
Yeah, it was just like a movie.
Yeah. So weird. All right. Well, we'll keep you posted on what's happening. It's a strange story, and hopefully, it'll end nonviolently. That's what we can hope for. All right. It's happening right now as we speak, and we're covering it in the newsroom as we do all the time. We'll take a quick break here. And speaking of the news, the big story will be coming up after we break here.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio in for Steve Cochran, and it is time for the Kid of the Week. It's sponsored by Ray and Raymond Chevrolet. Kid of the Week, Ray and Raymond Chevrolet. Let me set this up for you. Do you know a child that goes above and beyond his for his family or community or his or her? We'll nominate them for Kid of the Week. Go to WGNradio.com/contests to submit an entry for a child between 5 and 18 years old that you think should be the Kid of the Week, and the winner will be announced here on the show, as we're about to do. But that's not all. In December, we'll choose a Kid of the Year from all the 2016 Kid of the Week winners. We're excited to announce the Kid of the Year will be awarded a $5,000 prize courtesy of Ray Chevy in Fox Lake and Raymond Chevy in Antioch. See all the inventory at rayandraymonddeals.com. So let's get them, kids between 5 and 18. Submit them. Go to WGNradio.com/contests to submit your Kid of the Week. And our Kid of the Week is named Mia Morella, and we are going to talk to her dad, who submitted the entry. And let's talk with Mike Morella. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
All right, man, how are you?
I'm great, thanks.
You know, I read, you know, the reason why your daughter should be considered Kid of the Week, and I'm going to let you, because this is pretty amazing, man. I'm going to let you tell us what you wrote and why Mia should be Kid of the Week.
Oh, sure, thanks. Last year, or maybe a year before that, her school, where we live in Libertyville, the Butterfield School, they're very good about raising awareness, and the school, they were shaving their heads for St. Baldrick's and to help raise money. And Mia was very interested in that. And so last year, at 10 years old, she shaved her head and raised over $1,000 for St. Baldrick's. And she's doing it again this year. She's over $2,000 this year. And she does little side things like having a lemonade stand and raising the money for Save a Pet, the animal shelters, and her soccer team helped raise some money for Make-A-Wish. But anytime there's someone in need or anything like that, she says, we should do something to help them, whether it's raise money or she likes to go to Feed My Starving Children. It's a place up here that helps pack food for kids in other countries for meals. So when I heard Steve Cochran talking about it, I said, I know somebody.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing that she's only 11 years old, and she already has that kind of need in her. That's just really unbelievable. Well, can we talk to Mia?
Sure, she's right here. Hold on 1 second.
All right.
Hello.
Hi, Mia.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
All right. Great. So you're 11 years old.
Yes.
Now, how did you hear about St. Baldrick's Foundation and the other charities that you're interested in?
Well, for St. Baldrick's, our school did a thing where you just cut your hair, and I saw one girl doing it, and that kind of inspired me to do it. And then I saw a few people who had a St. Baldrick's shirt, and I asked what it was, and it sounded really interesting, so I did it.
Mm. And it says here that you have lemonade stands, that you're always looking to help people who need help and for animal shelters in the area. Why do you feel the need to help other people out so much, Mia? That's really nice.
Well, it makes me feel good when I help other people,
it just makes you feel good.
Yeah.
That's really nice. Now, you're shaving your. When are you actually going to shave your head?
This weekend.
This weekend you're going to shave it. Are you looking forward to it? Are you scared?
No, not really.
No.
Like last year, I was really nervous, but then I realized it's not that nerve wracking at all. It's just you go on a stage and then they shave your head,
and it grows back.
Mm-hmm.
It grows back, and it's for a really good cause. It's really and now. Are you the only 11-year-old in your school that's going to be, having a crew cut?
I don't know. I don't know if anyone else is doing it in fifth grade.
Okay. Now, how much have you raised so far?
I have raised over $2,000.
Over $2,000.
Yes.
Wow, that is really unbelievable. And so what do you like to do at school? What do you want to be when you get older?
Oh, when I get older, I want to be a zoologist.
Oh, wow. Okay. And are you studying that already?
Yeah, we're doing something called Genius Hour, where we try to figure out how to become that when we grow up.
Wow. Do you know where you're going to go to high school?
Maybe Libertyville High School.
Libertyville High School. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Really cool. One more time. What school do you go to? Give a little shout out for your school.
I go to Butterfield School.
Butterfield School. They made you aware of St. Baldrick's, and that's why you're going to shave your head and raise a lot of money, and that's really great. Well, Mia, listen, you are definitely worthy of Kid of the Week. You are unbelievable. And in addition to that, we're going to give you a gift certificate to Glenwood Oaks Rib and Chop House. It's a restaurant of choice since 1974. It's located in Glenwood. We're going to give you an apt gift card. Pleasing people since 1936. You can visit their store in Glenview or online at abt.com. And, of course, the Lou Malnati's gift certificate. You like pizza, Mia?
Yes.
You gotta, of course you do. Lou Malnati's is the best, and they're the home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations, and you can order online at loumalnati's.com. Listen, really, really great of you to do what you're doing. Mia, you sound like a great kid, and good luck this weekend as you get your head shaved, and really congratulations on raising all that money and awareness. You're a really wonderful kid.
Thank you.
Okay, Mia, say goodbye to your dad, Mike, okay?
Okay.
Okay, take care. There you go, Mia Morella. That's really something. Could you imagine an 11-year-old girl shaving her head?
No.
No.
When I was 11, we didn't think anything like that. No. We wouldn't... We were just, like, concerned what we were doing after school.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding?
What time is the Brady Bunch on?
No, I know. I didn't care. I didn't care about anything like that when I was
exactly.
a kid. I didn't have a charitable bone in my body when I was 11 years old. And not only that, you know, to care as much as she does, animal shelters, lemonade stands, raising money, raising awareness, but just as in the social situation that she's in fifth grade and she's shaving her head. Do you know what I mean?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Couldn't even imagine
that is
age.
Definitely a kid of the week. There's no question about it. If you know a kid that should be nominated, go to WGNradio.com/contests and submit an entry. Any kid between 5 and 18 years old, and the winner will be announced on this show. Remember, at the end of the year in December, we will announce the kid of the week will be the kid of the year, and it's going to be a $5,000 prize courtesy of Ray Chevy in Fox Lake, Raymond Chevy in Antioch, and you can check out their inventory at rayandraymonddeals.com. again, WGNRadio.com/contest to submit your kid of the week. Okay.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I'm sorry. A little Inagata DeVita? All right, I'm up for that.
As usual.
Wow.
We need this.
Inagata DeVita. You guys know how they got the name of this song? Iron Butterfly, how they named this song?
Can't even imagine.
The guy who
was
wrote...
Was there a drug involved?
Yes. Oddly enough, surprisingly enough, there was. The guy who wrote the song, who came up with the idea for the song, was so loaded when he was trying to tell the guys about the song. He wanted to call the song In the Garden of Eden. But he was so loaded, it came out in the Garden of Eden. I'm not kidding. That's a true story. I'm not kidding. Okay. It's a true story. That's how they named the song, because the guy's like, he was trying to say In the Garden of Eden, but he was so hammered, he said, In the Garden of Eden. I'm not kidding. Nick DiGilio in for Steve Cochran. Okay, I have a text question that we can you can text us your answers throughout the morning, and we'll read a bunch of them as the morning progresses. And here's my it's a question. Let me lead up to this question. Is anybody watching the People versus O.J. Simpson?
I've started it.
Me too.
I actually have it. I intend to watch the rest. I only watched the first.
Okay.
I'm halfway through the first only, but I know I'm going to binge
watch. I got to tell you. Mike, do you watch it? Because you look like you perked up a little bit when I said it.
It's the same thing where I started watching it.
Yeah.
And then I was recording him, and then I haven't caught up.
You haven't caught up. Mary?
Mary watches.
Are you caught up?
Yeah. She's all caught up.
It is addictive. It's completely addictive. And I love it. I'm telling you, I absolutely love it.
Well, when I saw the first, what's his name, Cato Kalin?
Yeah.
When I saw him answer the door in the first episode, I'm like, really?
Could they have
put a worse wig on the guy's head?
I can't tell you how addicted I am to this show. And I DVR all my stuff. But a lot of the times in the evening like that, I'm napping, before I come to work. I set my alarm for 5 to 9 every Tuesday just so I can watch it live. I'm not kidding.
Wow.
I can't even. Mary, explain.
It is the best casting of any. I don't know what you call this kind of show. It's a when they do
it's
a real life
a docudrama.
Yeah, whatever
thing.
It is. Yeah,
yeah. Ten parter.
Every single person to a T is exactly how the person was.
Yeah.
And they, I know that some of the things are exaggerated, but they are so accurate. And I remember it exactly in 94, you know, when it was all happening.
Me
so
too.
It's like when she changed her hair, and I was like, that's that right, that
episode,
was such a big deal.
That episode, it was called Marsha, 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 where they just focused all
I
on,
do remember that.
On Marsha, Marsha Clark. And by the way, Sarah Paulson is unbelievable, and Courtney B. Vance as Johnny Cochran is incredible on this show. But the best, Mary, you agree with me on this or not? You're talking about the haircut scene where she goes in because they're making fun of her hair. She's getting, you know, the tabloids are going
hideous.
All over it.
Yeah.
And so she wants the big change. So she has this big change, and they start playing, on the soundtrack, they play Kiss from a Rose.
Oh, that's right.
By Seal. Oh. And she goes in, and that song was huge in 95. It was huge. And she goes in to get this haircut. It's all romantic. And then she walks in, and she has an even worse haircut with the tighter curls. And everybody just kind of looks at her, and the Seal song is playing on the soundtrack. It's hilarious. Oh, she comes in, and the defense team, the dream team kind of looks at her like double takes, and then she sits down, and John Travolta gives her the thumbs up.
Yeah.
But anyway, my question is there appointment TV for anybody else out there? Text me. 312-981-7200. Are there shows that you have to watch, even if it has to be live? I'm going to watch it live.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight.
We watch it live. And then also Billions has become where I can't wait because people start talking about it, so I don't want to watch it later. So
yeah. Billions, I don't have the Showtime.
Oh,
yeah, I hear it's good. I love Paul Giamatti.
It's getting better and better and better, too.
So, yeah, okay, appointment TV. And are you watching the OJ thing? 312-981. There's only two episodes left, Mary.
Huh.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Tonight and next week. That's it. I don't want to. Do you know how it turns out? I don't want.
No.
You don't know how it turns out?
She's too young. Yeah.
But anyway, that show, I'm telling you, it's hypnotic in every. I'm telling you. Once you get into it, once it starts, especially when the trial starts.
Is it just like the Manitowoc murder thing, the Wisconsin?
Oh, no. Well, see, that was.
Did you watch that one?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I mean, that was just insane.
That's a documentary.
But that was a real, like, documentary.
Yes,
this is just, they're taking liberties with. There's kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing happening on
yeah,
this.
I was kind of laughing in the first one a little
bit.
When John Travolta appears, I'm sure I will laugh.
It's one of the weirdest. I don't know what. I really don't remember. Him being that way, Shapiro. I don't remember Shapiro being that weird. But Travolta certainly makes some interesting choices. But everybody in it is great. I think Cuba Gooding is great as OJ. I love it. So anyway, send your text throughout the morning. Do you have appointment television, stuff that you can't miss? And are you watching this OJ thing? And are you addicted like I am?
Is that included downloading shows?
Sure, of course.
Or,
any
or
shows. Yeah, you got the house. You're a house of cards.
Yeah, and I'm just... I was late finishing season 3. Now I'm... well into season 4.
Okay.
And it's just an unbelievable show.
I'm still behind on that one. I like it, though. It's a good show.
I've got a ways to go.
I have way too much TV. I'm a loser.
There is a lot of good stuff there.
There is.
But there's no
stuff.
Time to watch it.
I know. That's the thing. That's why, like, I'm behind on House of Cards. I'm behind on a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Here's another one. You guys will be shocked. I haven't even finished Breaking Bad.
Really?
See, I haven't started.
I would have thought that was very high on your list.
It was for a while, but I don't know what happened. I got distracted. But anyway, all right, listen, we got a break here. We got to hit the news. But text your answers here and your responses. 312-981-7200. The news is coming up next.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
Morning, everybody. How you doing? Beautiful, beautiful morning. Sunny, nice. And I'm Nick DiGilio, filling in for Steve Cochran. Coming up in a little bit, Rick Pearson is going to join us to talk about the new top cop in Chicago. Talk about the Supreme Court denying Blagojevich's appeal and how Patty was incredibly disappointed about that and more. So, we are going to talk in just a couple of minutes. Brad Milkey's going to join us, ABC News correspondent. To talk about how the FBI actually successfully retrieved data that was stored in the San Bernardino's terrorist iPhone. And we're going to talk about that story. We've got that the text question out there of what is appointment TV for you guys, or if you're watching the OJ thing, because that's the appointment TV for me. And if you want to jump in with your texts, it's 312-981-7200. We'll read some of the responses throughout the morning. 312-981-7200. 312 area code says Project Runway. 815 says Game of Thrones. Another 815 says Walking Dead with 4 exclamation points. And then 773 appointment TV favorite is Downton Abbey. Wow, they must be sad though.
Downton Abbey, last episode gone. A couple weeks ago.
Oh, so anyway, appointment TV 312-981-7200. And if you're watching the OJ thing, I would love to hear what you think. You can text us in. Okay, well, let's get to this story. Brad Milkey joins me from ABC News. Hey, Brad, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
Good. Good morning. This is a really an interesting story on so many levels. Tell everybody the latest on how the FBI, now they've retrieved data. They've actually broke into the phone.
That's right. So this was a deadlock that lasted for weeks, right? With the San Bernardino killer, Syed Farooq, he had his phone. It was an iPhone 5C that the government couldn't break into, or it would lock itself if they entered the PIN number too many times incorrectly. And so they asked Apple to build this backdoor into the phone and basically create a version of the software that would allow them to keep guessing PIN numbers. Well, a flurry of activity over the last week, because while Apple says it won't help them, another group has. Within the last 8 days, the FBI says last Sunday, an independent group came to them saying, we can get into this phone. They have not identified who this group was, but apparently that's what has happened, because yesterday they said, we're into this phone, we've hacked into it, we're exploiting information as we speak, and we did it without the help of Apple. And so they're actually dropping this court-mandated order to make Apple help them out, because they say that we don't need the help anymore.
Now, any idea where this, are people investigating who this group is that helped them?
They are, and the DOJ has not said who it is, and so that sort of leaves reporters to sort of start poking around. There have been reports about groups overseas that have said that they can break into iPhone 5C, so that's sort of the first group of people that you're looking at. But we don't. The answer is we don't know, and we don't know the method which they used. It's still sort of a mystery method, and we also don't know what information exactly the FBI has gotten out of this phone. So there's a lot of unknowns. What we do know is that this party wasn't a U.S. government source. The Department of Justice has told us that. And so that leaves us to wonder right now who they're working with, and it leaves Apple to wonder how the heck did they get into our phone.
And has Apple responded at all? Have they made a statement?
Apple has sort of walked this line, not saying much, basically saying, we'll continue to help law enforcement as much as we have, but this case should have never been brought. We should have never been asked to be compelled to help out the government. But, we do comply with warrants all the time, and we want to keep talking about civil liberties, because they know, and I think everyone knows, that this is not the last time this case will come up. And so Apple really wants to have this conversation about privacy versus security and where they're going to fit into all that.
Does anybody think that the FBI is going to feel some repercussions for doing this?
Well, there's a few repercussions, right? One of them is it's not great for Apple in that there's obviously a group out there that knows how to break into their phones. But it's also not great for the government, because this whole time they have said Apple is the only group who can help us out here. And so we're trying to set a precedent that would make manufacturers help us out. Well, that's clearly not the case, right? Yeah. If you can enlist third-party hackers to do your work for you, then we might not see a successful lawsuit like this again. It also puts them in a tricky spot, because now people are asking them exactly how they got into this phone. And so at some point, they're going to have to probably, detail exactly what happened here.
Do you see any legal situation coming up from this, because of this, involving the FBI?
Well, I think there's definitely a legal, ramification. This is not the last time we're going to see this case.
Right.
And in fact, especially when we talk about terrorism, in that there is so much radicalization and recruitment happening online. In fact, in the San Bernardino case, the female shooter in the case pledged her allegiance to ISIS online. And so you're going to keep looking at people's phones and their computers for information. And so you'll continue, I think, to see the government ask, tech companies to provide them as much information as they can, and in some case even go beyond the capabilities they currently have. Apple would have had to build essentially a new system. The government says that shouldn't have been a big deal, but there you go.
Wow. It's a really slippery slope, Brad. It really is. And so this group, or whoever they used, how long do you think it's going to take for them to remain hidden and anonymous? And maybe do they not want to be? At some point you're going to want to go, hey, we're the ones that cracked this.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, if you're a cybersecurity firm, say, and you know, you advertise your services of how you have the best and the brightest, this would be your flagship, yeah. Right? Worldwide attention. However, I think when you're talking about dealing with governments, I think there are agreements that are made as far as privacy. And you talked about slippery slopes. It's also a slippery slope for President Obama, who really sort of ducked this whole question over the last few weeks before finally at South by Southwest in a keynote address saying that, you know, he was on his own government side, basically, that the FBI does have the right to do these things. But Silicon Valley funded his election for a lot of this. So he really does feel like he wants to protect the interests of the tech industry. So it's been really rough for the White House, I think, and that's why we didn't see them try to, you know, go to Congress and ask them to make this a law, instead going through a judge sort of a pretty, you know, relatively quietly.
Yeah. Well, and obviously we'll find out, I mean, you know, as much as the FBI is finding out, they'll let everybody know. If they find out something huge, then that's, you know, this could be a really big thing.
That's the thing. So that now the focus swings back to our cybersecurity, right? What can people get into when it comes to my phone? So for weeks we were talking about people, you know, the FBI getting into this one person's phone. Well, now everyone's wondering, wait, can the FBI get into my phone, or can independent hackers
yep.
get into my phone? So that's the new question that the FBI is going to have to try to reassure people, and Apple especially will have to try to reassure its customers.
Yeah. Wow, big story. All right, Brad Mielke, thank you so much from ABC News. I appreciate your take on this.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Brad Mielke, everybody, from ABC News. Very, very interesting story. Man, the world is complicated.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
Morning, everybody. How you doing? It is the Steve Cochran Show. Nick DiGilio filling in for Steve Cochran, who is off on some mysterious mission that we're not.
I don't know if it's a mission necessarily.
You never know with Steve.
You don't.
Never know. All right. Coming up in a little bit, Rick Pearson is going to join us to talk about some local politics and more. Dean Richards will be here. Nell Minow, the movie mom. And if you have any questions concerning movies and entertainment stuff that you want to know is appropriate for your kids, she'll join us a little bit later on. And also Breakfast with a Blackhawk. Nicholas Jalmerson is going to join us. And we have questions from our listeners for the Hammer. And speaking of the Hawks play tonight, Dave.
Yes, they do.
6:30 pregame here on WGN. Mm-hmm. 7 o'clock puck drop in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
They are indeed playing the Wild.
Mm-hmm.
We do have ourselves a Blackhawks. We have a Hawkopedia.
Is that what
he's
you're trying to
say? Wikipedia.
And we should have the.
You know what? At one point it was called Hawktionary, wasn't it?
It was. We kind of changed it a little bit this year to make it a little more all-encompassing.
I understand that, but I was I had Hawktionary in my head, and I was like, "It's not. So anyway, will we have a Hawkopedia?
Blackhawks Radio,
720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Hawk
Chicago
Wikipedia.
We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
So, remember you said yesterday, like, don't trust Wikipedia?
Yeah.
But you can trust the Hawkopedia.
Of course.
Okay.
If you're involved, I trust it.
And we... Thank you very much. And we have a sponsor also for the Hawkopedia.
It is it's brought to you by Fresh Wave, the official deodorizer of the Chicago Blackhawks.
All
Fresh
right.
Wave.
Kind of a serious edition of the Hawkopedia this morning about Matt Olson. You've been hearing about 10 days now about Matt. Young man from Minnesota who suffered a severe spinal cord injury last month while playing junior hockey for the Chicago Cougars. It left Matt, 20 years old, paralyzed from the shoulders down and unable to speak. About 10 days ago, the Blackhawks and the Wild announced a joint effort along with their broadcast partners, including WGN Radio, to help raise money to help Matt and his family. You've probably heard the announcements here on WGN about the online auction, which began last Sunday. The Blackhawks and Wild each donated special items like trips on the team planes, a chance to suit up for the day at practice, other really unique items, which are open to bidding right now. at ChicagoBlackhawks.com/MO3 right through noon tomorrow. There's also a link on that site for Matt's GoFundMe page. Now, tonight, the Blackhawks and the Wild are dedicating the game to Matt Olson. Members of Matt's family, his brother, his grandfather, and his cousin will make the traditional Let's Play Hockey call. Before the opening faceoff, players from both teams will be wearing special stickers on their helmets to show their support for Matt. Parents and hockey players from Matt's high school will be selling programs at the XL Energy Center. The proceeds will be donated to the fund set up for Matt. Now, earlier this month, Matt was visited by the Blackhawks' Andrew Desjardins and Andrew Shaw, who delivered a hockey stick to him. It was autographed by the league's top goal scorer, Alex Ovechkin of Washington, who was signed to Matt, "Stay strong, best wishes." Now, so far, the GoFundMe page to raise money for what are expected to be huge medical costs shows funds raised over $130,000. That's great. That's still well short of the goal of $500,000. So tonight, the Blackhawks and Wild may be furiously trying to beat each other to win a game, but working together off the ice for something much bigger. And that's our Hawkopedia for today.
And I do want to mention very quickly that you can bid on these. You can still bid on these great rare opportunities, traveling with the team on the to a road game on the plane, being a player for the day. You can do that at WGNRadio.com/events, where you can do your bids. And you can also find information on how you can donate so that they can hit that $500,000. Because, I mean, medical bills in this day and age are incredible.
Yeah. The GoFundMe page, the website has a link to that. You can also send words of support to Matt and his family, and I know they would be greatly appreciated.
So all that stuff you can find at WGNRadio.com/events, WGNRadio.com/events. You've got till noon tomorrow to put in your bids for the auctions, but you can give anytime you want to the GoFundMe page. And all that information right now is at WGNRadio.com/events. This is really amazing that these two teams are working together on this.
I'm trying to think of a parallel in professional sports.
I was too.
And I'm not sure I can come up with one. I mean, I'm sure it's happened, and leagues get together and have bonded together on certain charitable efforts. But for two teams to partner like this, I think it really is unique.
It is. It really is. So go to WGNRadio.com/events and help out what you how you can. All right, Dave, thanks, man. Okay, we will take a break. The news is coming up next on WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own.
You are listening to station WGN.
Morning. Hi, everybody. 7:38 on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It's Nick DiGilio filling in for Steve Cochran. Steve Grzanich is in the newsroom. Mary Vanderbilt is in traffic. She's actually in the studio with us this morning.
Yes.
Andrea's off. Dave Ennett is here. Mike and Mary producing. Hi, everybody. So I threw out a text question a little bit earlier. I am completely and utterly addicted to the People versus O.J. Simpson show. It's appointment television for me. So I threw out this text question that we will be reading your responses to throughout the morning, and I have a few here. And our phone number, our text number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. What is appointment TV for you? Are you watching the O.J. show? 708 area code says Mad Dogs on Amazon Prime. I've not seen that. Has anybody seen that? Have you?
Mad Dogs?
Mad,
no.
Mad Dogs?
No, I have not seen that.
Amazon Prime. 630 area code says Shameless.
Oh, that's a bad show.
Mary, you said your kids watch that show?
My 19-year-old is watching it. I just found out. He's like binge watching it from episode one.
Yeah.
He looked at me and he said, "Mom, that's a really bad show." I go, bad is, you know what,
yeah,
I mean.
Yeah.
Well, stuff, I mean, shown and, yeah, said, and
William,
the language.
William H.
And,
Macy is a national treasure, as far
as
I'm concerned.
Oh, my gosh. I said, why are you watching that?
847 area code says, you have to watch Bates Motel. It's awesome.
I did hear that was really good.
I'm one season in. I think this is its third season, going into its third season. And I like it. 815 area code says, NCIS on CBS. Aren't there 20 of those?
Yeah.
There's like 20 different NCIs.
Different
right?
cities, different, yeah.
There's like 20 of those. There's 20 of Law and Orders. There's what's the other one? CSI, there's like 80 of those.
New York, I don't even know.
Now there's like 50 Criminal Minds. You know,
there's so many criminal shows. I mean, criminals that must have a field day just getting ideas. It's terrible when you think about it.
815 area code said Suits on USA. You know, evidently USA has these incredibly popular shows that everybody watches except for every single person that I know. But USA apparently is like one of the most popular cable networks.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. What's Suits?
They did it. Suits is like a white-collar sort of... White-collar sort of espionage thing. Business dealings and stuff like that. Lots of guys in suits, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they did this bit a few years back on SNL. It was a game show where it was called What is Burn Notice? And it was just them asking questions to the contestants about whether they knew what Burn Notice was. Which was a show. It's a very funny bit, which was a show on USA for a lot of years and very successful that no one I knew watched.
And it's gone now.
It's gone, but it was on for like 8 seasons.
Wow.
Yeah. So, anyway, Appointment TV, 312-981-7200. Send your texts to that, and we'll read more of those. Rick Pearson is about to join us from the Chicago Tribune. You can hear him here on the radio on the Sunday Spin. And we're going to talk a little politics and a little news right now. Rick, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Nick.
Good morning. How are you? It's been a while. I haven't talked to you in a while.
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good. How is your Sunday Spin going? Are you having a good time?
I'm enjoying the show. We're doing very well, and it's kind of nice to bring some conversational talk about politics, not the kind of shouting talking points and talking heads that a lot of people get when they get their politics.
Yeah, that's too bad, because I was going to scream at you for the next 10 minutes.
Go right ahead. Take a number.
Take a number. Well, Rick, always a pleasure to talk to you. I think the first thing we need to talk about is the new top cop in town. And how Emmanuel went about choosing him. What's your take on this? And give everybody the latest.
Well, Eddie Johnson's the interim police superintendant. He replaces John Escalante. Eddie's a longtime veteran of over 2 decades on the police force. Kind of very interesting in the fact that he did not apply for the superintendent's job of the 39 that applied. Emmanuel went around the top 3 choices, including Cedric Alexander, the chief of police in suburban Atlanta. Very interesting here, and I think what it is truly a reflection of the political weakness that we see in Rahm Emanuel right now, particularly in the African-American and Latino communities. By not going with an outsider, by picking an insider, the 3 names that had been floated by the police board that was to review finalists, by going outside of that, those 3 that were nominated actually raised some hackles among members of the Aldermanic Black Caucus, the Latino Caucus. Eddie Johnson is a safe choice for those interests. They voice support. FOP voice support. There's still some questions in the African-American community about can an insider change a culture that they feel is rooted in what we saw with the Laquan McDonald video. So Emmanuel says this is the right guy for the right time. He said he never offered Cedric Alexander from DeKalb County, Georgia, the job, despite Alexander claiming he was offered the job. Still a lot remains here, but as it stands right now, Eddie Johnson is just the interim superintendent. And now it'll be up to the police board to go back, do a new interview, with interested parties, and Johnson will be one of those, and presumably would be the final pick of the mayor.
Now, you know, is Rahm ever going to recover from the Laquan McDonald shooting? I mean, you know, no matter what he does with or to the Chicago Police Department, it's nothing he's ever going to recover from, do you think?
Well, it's certainly a big blot on his record, and when we did polling on the mayor early this year, he had his lowest job approval numbers ever. And, you know, after winning election in a runoff last year with the support of African-American voters, his support among African-American voters now has literally evaporated. The real question is politics, as we all know, and for better or worse, is short attention span theater. And if there's some way that the mayor can get a handle on things. Sure, four things can change. There's also the fact too that when you talk about, you know, we'll run for a third term, you gotta beat somebody with somebody, and who would be an opponent for Rahm Emanuel?
Yeah, well, he's got to be. I mean, you know, you just said his approval ratings are at an all time low, and that had to also affect the story that came out just this past week, Rick, about everybody leaving Chicago.
Well, you've got, you know, you have factors of, and frankly, a lot of that flight out of the city is from the African-American community. There is regentrification in the city, but a lot of those leaving the city themselves are African-Americans. And what in the past had kind of covered up kind of out-migration was a growth in the Hispanic community, and that growth has slowed greatly. But you take even bigger concerns, too. You've got the crime issue there. You also have the fact of taxes that are going up, property taxes going up, water taxes, things that Emanuel, and this goes back to the very beginning when he first ran for office, that he said he was elected to make the hard decisions. And at that time, I said hard decisions are not always politically popular ones. And the city is still in a very deep financial hole. Chicago Public Schools in a deep financial hole. Both counting on Springfield to do something, and of course, 10 months without a state budget.
Mm, yeah, of course. You know, it's funny. I will say this before we take a break here, Rick. I think the guy, for the top cop job, has got the perfect name. There's just something about Eddie Johnson. You know what I mean? As the Chicago top cop, his name's Eddie Johnson.
Well, and you know, for those who like him a lot, they say, you know, he's a cop's cop. But here again, that is that enough to change a culture that you have the Department of Justice investigating the force, obviously over basically spurred on by the Laquan McDonald shooting.
Mm-hmm.
But he has been a street cop, and he knows the city very well.
Okay. Rick, hang on, okay?
Sure.
Rick Pearson is with us Sunday Spin on Sundays, and you can read him in the Chicago Tribune as well. We got more to talk about with Rick.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Dean Richards is going to join us after 8, after 8:30. My friend Nell Minow, the Movie Mom, is going to join us, moviemom.com. And we're going to open up the phone lines and have you guys call in and ask questions of the Movie Mom at 312-981-7200. Author Allison Stewart is going to join us to talk about her book, Junk, which is digging through America's love affair with stuff. Allison Stewart from, from ABC News, CBS News. And, of course, her big start was on MTV. And that's going to come up. Breakfast with a Black Hawk, Nicholas Jalmerson, and much more, all here on WGN. But right now we're talking with Rick Pearson, who you can hear on Sundays here on the Sunday Spin on WGN and read in the Chicago Tribune. Rick, welcome back, sir.
Thank you very much, Nick.
I wanted to ask you your thoughts on the election fraud hearing in Arizona. And all hell kind of broke loose there. Give everybody a little background on that. And what do you think about that? And what in general, you know, I haven't talked to you about this. What do you think? What do you think of this election?
Well, I think, frankly, this election board hearing, which was a result of the fact that so many people waited in line so many hours in Arizona to cast ballots, and the fact that election authorities just appeared overwhelmed and underprepared for what was going on. And a lot of arguments being made that this, you know, was basically a form of voter suppression, of trying to keep people from turning up at the polling places.
Mm.
Frankly, there's no, I don't think there's much excuse for not having enough ballots, and that occurred in some places here in Illinois as well. That people had to print off paper ballots and cast them provisionally because there weren't enough ballots in the polling places. And truly, when you look at how all the way back to Iowa and the turnout there, one thing has been a constant on both sides. It's overwhelming turnout.
Right.
And so to be unprepared, to not have enough contingency ballots in place, it's no misunderstanding to realize how that election board hearing in Arizona just really turned into a large protest and at times somewhat violent.
Yeah. I mean, I read, you know, I read some of the stories and, I mean, and you said that this happened here in places in Illinois. What was done about that?
Well, what voters were given, paper copies of a ballot were made by voting authorities, and voters were allowed to cast what's known as a provisional ballot.
Right.
It didn't go right into the, you know, into the machine like it normally would, but those ballots were counted later.
Was there a hearing or anything in Illinois following that? Were there complaints, protests?
There were plenty of complaints, but not many protests. But the fact of the matter, again, how can you not see what's going on elsewhere in the country and not know that that wave of voting among Republicans, among Democrats, how could you not see that wave coming?
Right.
That's the real question.
And just in general, Rick, in all your years of covering politics, what do you make of this presidential election so far?
I'm like everybody else. I'm just kind of stunned. It's amazing to me how a candidate who can say one thing, does another, insult groups of people, how he can become, how Donald Trump can become the front runner is just amazing. I mean, I know Politico, the website organization, they had three reporters that spent 5 days going through Trump's remarks to try to fact check it, and they gave up. It's an amazing reflection of the electorate. It's an amazing reflection, too, of just the anger and frustration that people are feeling. And here we are. We've been told that the Great Recession is over, that unemployment numbers are down. But there's still so much great, deep-seated economic anxiety that exists out there. And the major political parties on both sides, I think, have failed to realize that, let alone tap into it and try to fix Washington to help people.
Mm-hmm. It's been very strange and fascinating to watch at the same time, and kind of surreal. I mean, it's surreal, I think, is the word. I've never seen anything like it.
I talked about short attention span theater, and it seems like our politics has become even more like an entertainment-based. I mean, it should be no surprise that a TV reality show host is leading a competition, because I think it's just kind of a reflection of the changing culture and the change in our times. And I think in part of it is social media, too, that there's just a belief that people can say anything they want, do anything they want. And we've kind of seen civility go right out the window.
To close it out real quick, Rob Blagojevich was declined. The U.S. Supreme Court declined to hear him, to hear the appeal. Was that a surprise at all? And Patty is incredibly disappointed, quote unquote.
Not really a surprise. And he's due to be released in 2024. He is to be resentenced. Five of the charges he was convicted on were kicked out by the appeals court. But even with the appeals court doing that, they said that the original sentence was not out of bounds, and he could indeed just be resentenced to what he's sentenced for now. And so, no surprise here at all. That was kind of a Hail Mary pass by the Blagojevich team. And somebody suggested, well, Obama could still pardon him, and I think it'd be very hard-pressed to see the man whose Senate seat he was accused of selling pardon the guy for trying to peddle that seat.
Yeah. What do you got coming up on the show this Sunday?
This Sunday I've got Teresa Ma. She's the new Democratic nominee for the state legislature, the first Asian-American woman to be to win a major party nomination, and obviously Chicago District, so she'll go on to serve that seat in November. So we'll be talking about what does she bring to the table in this kind of stalemated environment that we call state government.
Okay. Check it out at WGNradio.com, and you can see the Sunday spin there. Rick, a pleasure talking to you, sir.
Always good talking to you, Nick.
Take care. Rick Pearson, everybody. Take a break. The news is coming up next on WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me good.
Yeah. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio. That's me. I'm filling in for Steve Cochran this morning. Nell Minow, the movie mom, is going to join me after the 8:30 news. And if you have questions for Nell concerning what movies are appropriate for your kids, and always a blast to talk to Nell. It's been a long time, very long time since I talked to Nell. That's coming up after 8:30. Right now, I want to bring in my buddy here, Dean Richards, and our time with Dean Richards is sponsored by the Captain James L. Lovell Federal Health Care Center. And also, the 8 o'clock hour is sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. And let's bring Dean Richards into the show. Hi, Dean.
Take a breath. Sounds like you're winded.
Yeah. Well, I had to move.
It's a lot of commercials, a lot of things to read there.
Yeah, and I actually had to, like, move my leg, so I get winded when I do that.
That's a lot of exercise.
It really is.
You can't just do that in one day. You have to train for that sort of thing.
You know me too well, Dean.
You got to train.
Hey, it seems like every time I talk to you, the first thing I bring up are the Carson reruns. Because I'm completely, and I can't wait. Tonight, I'll be watching it tomorrow morning when I get home from work. But tonight, Albert Brooks.
Oh, my gosh.
1983.
Oh, my God. Early Albert Brooks.
Yeah.
Fairly
Herbert. I can't wait. Well, that's between Modern Romance, but before Lost in America. So, and it's Brooke Shields and Albert Brooks tonight. It
doesn't matter. Any Albert Brooks appearance.
Yes.
Is
legendary.
The later ones, or the super early ones are the greatest ones.
Yes.
But even the later ones, I've been lucky to interview him a couple of times. And the interviews, you know, were mostly about whatever movie he was making at the time.
Yeah.
But he would just throw in a couple of Albert Brooks zingers somewhere and destroy me.
Yeah.
Absolutely destroy me.
One of my favorite comedic minds ever.
Could not agree more.
So how you doing, Dean? We got some celeb lawsuits to talk about.
Oh,
What's going on?
I feel like a lawyer today. I feel like Karen Conti reporting all this stuff today. Where do we start? Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson are getting sued, not because of anything that they did, but you know, one of their sons, who was a one-time rapper, I don't think he is anymore, Chet Hayes, he was a Northwestern alum, had a pretty serious drug problem for a while. He's gone into rehab, seems to be on a good path with all of that, but a few months ago got into a major accident on a California freeway, rear-ended somebody. And that driver now is not suing Chet Hayes, but is suing Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson, saying that they knew that he was under the influence of drugs and or alcohol at the time of the crash and let him use their vehicle anyway.
Oh,
and therefore
he's not suing him because they're Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson.
Yeah, it wouldn't be because Chet Hayes probably has nothing and Tom Hanks is one of the most, you know, rich people in the world.
Yeah.
I'm sure that has absolutely nothing to do with it. He's saying that they were aware of his problem, let him use the vehicle. You know, because what parent really doesn't want to, you know that your child is drunk or, you know, high or whatever. Hey, you want to take the car and go out for a ride?
Yeah.
You know, what parent doesn't want that for their kids?
Oh, man.
So this is going to go through the legal system. I'm sure there'll be some sort of settlement just to, you know, make it done.
Yeah. Okay. Dean, hang on before we get to Judge Wapner again. Hold on a second. Dean Richards is here. We got more celebrity lawsuits to talk about here. It just never ends.
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor. Top man, pro and steady. To the man, because he's always ready.
Nick DiGilio, that's me filling in for Steve Cochran. Dean Richards joins us.
You know, I've got Mary Vanderbilt on my mind here because I just heard her voice. I know she's a big Dancing with the Stars fan.
You know what? Dean, during the break, she said to me, "You have to talk with Dean about Dancing with the Stars last night." Now, I don't watch the show, but Dean, Mary does.
I don't either, but I woke up in a cold sweat today. When that happens, I know that there is some force of evil that has taken place somewhere in the entertainment world. And I checked, and these two dark clouds had converged. One, Geraldo Rivera, dressed up as Donald Trump and dancing last night.
He wasn't dancing.
Allegedly dancing, right, on Dancing with the Stars. however much Nick just moved in his chair right now is more than Geraldo Rivera did during that dance number last night. Terrible dancing.
And he was doing Latin dancing. He should know how to do that, right?
Salsa dancing. Yeah. But also, how I am never going to be able to unsee Geraldo Rivera with the Trump wig and the Trump makeup.
And did you see how he dyed his mustache?
And he dyed his mustache, and he's trying to do the Trump voice terribly. I sound more like Donald Trump right now than...
Was there a reason? I mean, I know that he was on Celebrity Apprentice. That's the only thing that I mean.
He said he's been friends with Donald Trump since 1974. And he said, I know Donald would appreciate this, and he wouldn't mind. So, I mean, he started the dance sitting on a desk in the...
Oval Office.
Yeah, the Oval Office. Like who did he Oval say? Office. Hello, God. Mr. Putin or something? I can't remember.
He was pretending he was talking to Putin on the, the phone. And his wife's name?
Marlena.
He's talking to his partner. Edita. All slinked out mink coat is like... kind of seductively laying on the desk while he's on the phone talking to Putin.
It was just embarrassing. Poor Edita. I felt so bad. She's the dancer, and she's just returned. This is her first season back after having a baby, and then she gets stuck with him.
She gets stuck with Geraldo, who was eliminated after this. I'm surprised they didn't deport him.
Well,
it was so bad.
He said if he wasn't eliminated, he would have demanded a recount. So
do they have writers on this show? Was this his concept, or was it who choreographed this?
Yeah, that's a little over my pay scale.
I have no idea.
The professional dancer usually they choreograph the whole thing, but they do get some feedback from the dancer, the so-called celebrity, and they get to talk about it. I think they don't get to pick their music, though. I think somebody usually picks the music for them, but it was
nice
whoever decided to do it.
The music was like, some really, hot. It's actually an old
salsa music.
Tito Puente song. I recognize the song as a Tito Puente song, but...
I wasn't paying any attention to the song.
But he barely moved.
Yeah, I
would say, if you're curious, you can go see it on YouTube or something. But seriously, don't go through the mental trauma that I've gone through by watching this.
I'm so sorry.
I implore all of you, please save yourself and your children.
And I told Nick, he did say that he had a back issue, mm-hmm. and he has no feeling in his right foot.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it's hard to move right foot.
So why wouldn't you go on a show called Dancing with the Stars?
Problem. And why couldn't he dance on the left foot?
I watched the Celebrity Apprentice, and any excuse that he had to be a lunatic and to take his shirt off, mm-hmm. He did.
Remember he did that selfie on Twitter a couple of years ago?
Oh, yeah, where he took his shirt off and he was shaving or something. What was that?
I think that was when he was...
I don't know.
I think that may be a dream you had, Mary.
A dream? a nightmare.
Ooh, would you be hot if Geraldo Rivera was all lathered up?
Yeah. I think that was during his appearances on Celebrity Apprentice, because he was shirtless a lot on Celebrity Apprentice. So I guess his idea is to be on reality shows and just, terrify people.
Mission accomplished.
Wow. All right. I wanted to ask you this. Gary Shandling's friends, they gathered at his house for a basketball game?
I think this is so cool. Apparently, for the last dozen or so years, Gary Shandling would invite all his comedian friends over to his house, and they would play basketball. From the picture, it looks like a gigantic driveway with the basketball hoop where you get together with your buddies and, play basketball. That's what it sounds like this has been for years and years and years. So Gary Shandling passed away last week. Judd Apatow, Bill Maher, Kathy Griffin, Richard Lewis, Kevin Nealon, who else? Just a who's who of comedy all got together one last time at Gary Shandling's house on a Sunday afternoon and played basketball in his honor.
Wow.
I think it's cool. I think that's like such a cool tribute, closure, whatever you want to call it. I think it's just a really nice tribute.
Is that stuff that you can see? Can you see the pictures online?
There is a picture that Judd Apatow put on his Instagram account. So it's all over the internet
Cool.
But that is something you can see. All the comedians are, like in T-shirt and shorts.
Yeah.
Like they're playing basketball. Richard Lewis, all black.
Of course. Oh, man. Okay, before I let you go, Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yeah.
Melissa Joan Hart. She's all faith-based now. I remember when she was in Maxim many years ago.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's definitely changed her way. She's in a new movie that's coming out this coming Friday called God's Not Dead 2.
Oh, she's in that?
She's, yeah. Nobody from the first God's Not Dead is in this.
That's too bad.
Did you see the first God's Not Dead?
I did not.
I have a feeling like you would catch fire if you even walked into a theater to see something like that.
Yeah.
There'd be an internal combustion.
No, they wouldn't let me in. They just wouldn't let me in.
So this new movie, she plays a teacher who brings up Jesus in her classroom and is discussing Jesus in her classroom. Lawsuit takes place. It goes to court. You know, the legal issues of bringing God into the classroom. And I talked with her and her co-star, Jesse Metcalf, who used to be pretty shirtless, if I remember, on Desperate Housewives all the time. And he was one of the Ewing brothers in that remake of Dallas. I talked with them over the weekend, but I said it's kind of ironic now that, you know, that she's on this side of the spiritual fence and is going to get a certain amount of feedback from her fans. And she told me it was kind of ironic because she got the same thing years ago when she was on Sabrina. Here she is.
I mean, on the other side of Sabrina, I'm playing a witch in Sabrina, and I'm getting persecution from the Christians saying it's not the Christian thing to do, you know.
Did you so really? This, with that
yeah,
role,
yeah.
You really
I had some people stand up at some press junkets and whatnot and give me an earful. And I was 20, you know, and I was just trying to make a fun TV show.
Right.
You know, and so on this end, I expect the same from the other side of it. So, yeah. You know, you expect controversy in our careers, in this world right now. It's going to come at you. I keep saying, like, if you say that you like the color blue, especially on Twitter, people are going to come out and say, well, I like orange. What's wrong with you? Why are you hating on me? You know, and ultimately, you know, it's not our intention to hurt anybody. It's not our intention to shove anyone out. It's just our intention to break down the barriers and say that you don't,
and
you don't fit in a box.
Our intention is to promote tolerance.
Yeah, so, you know, there's all that. You've probably noticed this also. I certainly have. There have been about 5 faith-based films that have done really well.
Yeah, they do.
Last, like, 3-4 months.
Yeah, they do really well, and there's certainly a big market for that. So, and
this is the latest.
That's the latest one. Okay.
God's Not Dead 2, Nick.
Okay, I can't wait for God's Not Dead 3 in 3D. Dean, thanks, buddy.
All right.
Okay, Dean Richards, everybody. We got a break. The big story is coming up next on WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
Hello there. Morning, everybody. 8:40. On 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio overlooking Michigan Avenue right here. The whole gang is here. Andrea is not. She's just got today off, right?
Yes, she will be back
on assignment.
She's on assignment.
Right. And Steve Cochran is...
He's on a mission.
He's on a mission.
Yeah, different than an assignment.
Much different.
Which one is more dangerous?
I don't think either of them is... Well, I don't
probably the mission.
I'm sure Steve. He always
Steve lives
risks
a very, he
life.
Lives a very,
he does. Yeah. Live
it's a
very,
very dangerous life. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. he'll be back. He's off tomorrow too, right?
He's off tomorrow. He'll be back on Thursday, presumably.
Okay. Presumably,
if the mission is accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
If the mission is accomplished.
Yes.
Okay. Good. All right. Hey, I'll be back on my regular show Wednesday morning at 2 a.m. from 2 to 5, if you would like to tune in for that. Coming up a little bit later on, Nicholas Jalmerson is going to join us from the Chicago Blackhawks for Breakfast with a Blackhawk. That's coming up. Allison Stewart is going to join us. She is a reporter, and she's worked on ABC News, CBS News. She got her start on MTV, and she was one of my favorites on MTV back in like 25 years ago. And she has written a book called Junk, Digging Through America's Love Affair with Stuff. It's a really terrific book about all the – you guys have a lot of stuff like in your closets and in your basement.
Oh, yeah. I have my stuff, my kids' stuff, everybody's stuff. I'm like, get it out of the house.
You have to read this book.
Yes, I definitely want to.
And we're going to talk, Allison will be here. We're going to talk with Allison a little bit later.
Anything to help get rid of the clutter.
We also have a text question out there. I am currently obsessed with the O.J. Simpson show. The O.J. Simpson show. Like I make it sound like it's a musical, like a variety show. Hey, everybody, here's O.J. No, the People versus O.J. Simpson, for me, it's like appointment TV. I'm obsessed with it. And I threw out the question for you to text your answer. Do you have any appointment TV that you have to, you must watch? And is anybody watching the O.J. Simpson thing? 847 area code says, I love The Americans, another terrific show. With the lovely
that is one I'm going to watch.
I've heard that's really good.
I'm going to binge
really,
that one.
It's really good. 630 area code says Nurse Jackie, and we've got a few more texts as well, and we want to hear from you. Now, I want to welcome to the show. Oh, by the way, this hour, once again, the 8 o'clock hour, is sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. Thank you, Wintrust Community Banks. I am welcoming to the show a person I haven't talked to in a very long time, one of my favorite people in the world. One of the very first guests I ever had on my show when I first got my own show back in 98. And she has been on my show countless times. She's the movie mom, Nell Minow. And if you have a question, we have the phone lines are open. We would love to hear from you. If you have a question concerning movies that are appropriate for your kids and you have questions about that, any kind of family-related entertainment questions and movie questions like that, DVDs, if you had an experience at a theater that you would like to tell us about involving that kind of thing, 312-981-7200. You can ask Nell Minow and us. 312-981-7200. I want to welcome Nell to the show. Nell, how have you been?
I've been great. I miss you so much. I'm so happy to be talking to you.
I miss you too, Nell. I really do. You know, now that I don't have a show that's, you know, like I used to have the Saturday show, which was on at a reasonable hour, I would still have you on. But now I'm on from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. And I know that's a little tough for you, you being out in D.C. and all.
That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, every time we do a segment, I always let you start off with whatever's on your mind. And first of all, you know, for people who might not know, tell everybody about Movie Mom, Nell.
Well, I started writing movie reviews as a movie mom back in 1995. And, you know, originally I began by writing movie reviews for the New Trier newspaper I was a student there. Then in college. And then I went to law school and did other things. But when I had kids, I would go to, remember video stores? There used to be a thing called video stores.
Yeah, oddly I do. Yeah.
Yeah. And I would see parents looking like they were having panic attacks because they had no idea what was in these movies. And of course, the Motion Picture Association doesn't do much by way of helping you with that. They do their best to be very confusing. I mean, for example, last week we had two movies come out. They were both PG-13. They couldn't have been more different. We had Batman versus Superman, My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2.
Right.
How are you supposed to know what the PG-13 means? So I started reviewing with that perspective, and that's who I am.
That's how you started. And you can check out moviemom.com. And again, we have our phone lines open if you guys have questions or experiences that you've had with your kids at a movie theater. 312-981-7200. All right, look, now we got a break here for a second, okay? So hang on. When we come back, I want to get what's on your mind. And I have to tell you about my experience at a screening of Deadpool.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I know. Hang on. Because that's Nell Minow, the movie mom. Any kind of question about what's appropriate for kids and if you've had an experience at a theater involving kids and movies. And 312-981-7200.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
850 on 720 WGN on a Tuesday morning. Nick DiGilio filling in for Steve Cochran. My good friend Nell Minow is here. She's the movie mom. Always check out moviemom.com. You got kids and you're wondering about what's appropriate, what is inappropriate for the kids, and so on and so forth. Nell is your person. She's also just a terrific writer and a great movie reviewer and a good friend. Nell, welcome back.
Well, thank you. That was so nice of you to say. I want to tell you that something I'm super proud of. RogerEbert.com is having, in honor of Women's History Month, a special salute to the women writers who for the site. And they kicked it off yesterday with my tribute to Nora Ephron, who I think is underestimated as a filmmaker because, you know, she's in that chick flick category. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of fun writing it. So that's something that I recommend that people take a look
at. And people can check it out at RogerEbert.com.
Right.
Right. And Nell Minow, Minow with one N.
Right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Now, what is on your mind? There's always something that that's set you off a little.
I got to talk to Don Cheadle on Friday, who is wonderful. And he's got a movie that is uneven but interesting about Miles Davis called Miles Ahead. Have you seen it?
I've not.
Okay. Well, it's uneven but interesting. But here's the thing that bugs me about it, and this is not Don Cheadle's fault. He co-wrote it and directed it and stars in it, and he, of course, is always wonderful. But there's a construct. They've put the movie in the context of a of a relationship with a fictional character who didn't really exist.
That's really?
That's what fictional means. A reporter for Rolling Stone, played by Ewan McGregor, who I love and who plays an important role in the film. And the reason is he couldn't get financing unless they put a white character in the movie.
Is that right?
Yeah. So here's one of the real problems with the movie, and here's why it's the problem. And this is now the second conversation like that I've had. I talked to Lee Daniels about The Butler, and you know, you're kind of like, what do you all this stunt casting with Robin Williams and Jane Fonda and all of that? And the answer was, he said, I could not get financing without putting white people in the movie.
Wow.
And that really bugs me.
Well, it should.
And because it shouldn't be necessary. And I think in this day and age, people will go to a movie and buy tickets, whether they are any race, to see a movie that is good, no matter who's in it, especially if it's a true story.
Yeah. Wow, that's really something.
Yeah.
That's really something. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, Nell, we've got some people who are calling, and we'll try to sneak in some calls here.
Great.
But I have to tell you my experience when I saw Deadpool.
Yes. No, please don't tell me there's a child there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, Nell. And here's the thing.
You can't imagine a more R-rated movie.
No, absolutely.
Which I loved, by the way. I loved the movie.
Let's not talk about it.
Okay.
I have to tell you, I'm grumpy on the comic book movies lately because I thought that the Batman versus Superman was – I've had more enjoyable prostate exams than that movie.
It was awful.
It was unbelievably awful.
You know, I am a Comic-Con attending fangirl with a comic collection.
Yeah.
And Superman is my favorite superhero.
Oh, well, then no wonder you hated it.
So,
I have to quickly say, I didn't like Deadpool. I just didn't.
Okay,
my problem with Deadpool is that there were no rules. Like, you know, there were no rules to jokes. It was like, wait a minute, what universe are we in?
Right.
Where is this happening? And it was, and for me, it's like throw a bunch of stuff at a wall. Some of it will stick. And most of it for me fell off the wall.
Okay.
But 2 minutes into the movie, I'm sitting in the theater with my friend sitting next to me. In walks a couple with what appears to be a 6-year-old kid and a toddler.
Oh, my God.
And they sit right in front of me. Now, Nell, you've seen the movie.
Yes, I have.
And you know,
like 1 minute into the movie, they're already talking about.
Yeah,
I can't say it.
No, you can't say it.
Yeah.
It is as R-rated a movie as you're likely to see it. And I guess people just go, oh, it's a comic book movie, so I can bring the kids.
Which, first of all, you wouldn't bring them to Batman versus, I hope not to Batman. You know, something that along those lines that really made me nuts around here is that, you know, I live, as you said, in Washington, D.C., where one of our local theater chains announced with great pride that they were adopting a new policy of no children under 6 in R-rated movies. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because they had to. I guess Deadpool might have done that. Now, Mary Sandberg is here. And this is Nell. Mary, Nell.
Hello.
Hi, and you have a question.
I do. So we always look up what the movies are appropriate. I have a stepdaughter who's 12 and a stepson who's 9.
Mm-hmm.
And we go through this effort of making sure we're all going to see movies that are okay. And while we're going to see the movies, the previews that run are inappropriate movies. The last one we saw was The Martian together. And the Leo DiCaprio movie played in the preview. And then there was a Walking Dead like CD pack thing in... It was just like they were scared of before we even the movie happened. It was like, shouldn't the previews?
Yeah, you know, that's another very shady area, Mary. Because
that is a perennial problem, and the National Association of Theater Owners has a very, very firm policy about it that they are opposed to it. You can complain to the theater manager. You can complain to the NATO, the National Association of Theater Owners. They will take action on it. They are really strict about it. But this happens over and over and over. I took my kids when they were little to see The Preacher's Wife with Whitney Houston and Denzel Washington, which is a PG movie. And apparently they felt at the theater, because we were going to a movie that had black stars in it, that we would be interested in seeing trailers about a lot of gangster movies with people getting shot in the trailers and a lot of bloody stuff. And it was just nuts. And so I looked into it then, and I actually talked to the head of the National Association of Theater Owners, and he said, please, we will bust anybody who does that. Please let us know about it.
So make a complaint.
So I need
Mary.
To speak up.
Make
sure.
A complaint.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There are very strict rules about that.
I just have them cover their eyes. That's
the best you can do at the time. Yeah.
I got to tell you, that's that doesn't work with kids.
No, it doesn't. Thanks, Mary. And Nell, I have to say this. I went to go see Zootopia, which I loved, by the way.
That I'm so happy because I completely loved it. I've seen it twice already.
I've seen it.
Go see it a third time.
I've seen it twice myself.
Yeah.
Second time I saw it with my folks, and they loved it too. And I have to tell you, I don't know if I've seen my dad laugh harder at a scene in a movie than the sloth.
I know what you're going to say.
The sloth DMV.
Yes, the DMV.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Even though Nell, I mean, as you and I probably both know, it's a Bob and Ray bit.
Yeah,
it's an updated Bob and Ray bit,
but it's a classic.
It's absolutely classic, but it was brilliant. But I have to say that I found the trailer that, you know, they showed trailers before this, and they showed the trailer for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, which is not rated yet and could end up being PG-13.
I don't think it will, but yeah, it could be.
But in the trailer, there's a lot of violence. There's a scene where like Megan Fox is like hiking her shirt up and pushing her boobs up and stuff. And I'm sitting there watching this and I'm like, wait a minute, why are you showing this before Zootopia? Same thing that Mary was thinking about. Wait, how inappropriate are these trailers?
No, I definitely know that it's a problem. I hear about it from people all the time, and all I can tell you to do is that the theater owners have a very firm policy, but the theater managers violate it because they want to get the word out, and they know the kids like the turtles. So,
But
I love Zootopia. I just thought it was so smart, so warm-hearted, so clever. And, yes, it is true that that's a Bob and Ray bit, but just that slow smile on the face of the sloth is so funny.
No, it's hysterical. It's hysterical. And I laughed so hard during that movie, and I thought it was great. Okay, I haven't even talked. I have to ask you,
Jason Bateman is so great.
He's the best, and so is Jennifer Goodwin and everybody.
Right. Everybody.
Very quickly, because I gotta let you go, what was your favorite movie of 2015?
I had a tie for the first time.
Okay.
Of Chirac and Big Short.
Wow. Okay. One I hated and one I thought was really good.
Okay.
I hated Chirac. But,
well, you're from Chicago. But I'm from Chicago too, but I totally loved it. All right. Go ahead. What was your number one?
Oh, Mad Max. I mean,
That was pretty awesome. That was in my top 10.
Yeah, nothing even came close. I mean, it wasn't even, nothing even remotely came in the same vicinity.
We have a whole separate conversation about that movie because I have so many things to say about it.
Oh, what? You liked it though, right?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
Loved it. No, I said it was in my top 10.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, now that flew by. We'll have to figure out it. I know. Look at how disappointed both of us are. I miss you too.
Miss you so much.
I know. I miss you too. Listen, we'll figure something out.
All right.
You know, I mean, if I have to tape something with you early so I can play it on my show, I'll do that.
Anytime.
Okay? Because I miss talking to you.
All right.
Nell, you're the best. Nell Minow, I love her so much. MovieMom.com. Check it out. She's amazing. All right, we'll take a break.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own.
You are listening to station WGN.
Yeah. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, filling in for Steve Cochran. It's Tuesday morning. Coming up after the 9:30 news and 9:40. Nicholas Jalmerson with Breakfast with a Blackhawk coming up. But right now, I would like to welcome to the show the author of a book called Junk, Digging Through America's Love Affair with Stuff. And Mary, as we talked before, you have lots of stuff in your house, lots of your kids' stuff and their other stuff.
Yeah, my kids have moved out, then moved back in, then moved out into a house, and they haven't taken all their stuff out yet, you know, and they just think I'm just a storage unit.
Well, this book that I'm holding in my hand right now that I've read, and it's really terrific, called Junk, is written by Allison Stewart, and it's more than just about junk. There's a lot of stuff going on in here. And Allison Stewart has been a journalist for many years. She worked at NBC, ABC, CBS, got her start in on MTV, and I want to welcome Allison to the show. Allison, how are you?
I'm great. Good morning. Hi, everybody.
Hi. And I have to tell you, let me just say, I am a huge, I was so much of a huge fan of yours on MTV.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I love hearing that.
I got to tell you, I thought you were fantastic. Let me just ask you, and before we get to the book, and obviously we're going to talk about the book, I have to ask you about the time that you spent at MTV, and it was at a time when MTV was really changing.
You know, it's so interesting. I have nieces who are in their late 20s, and I try to explain to them the impact of MTV at the time. I keep saying, like, you know, it's like what
Snapchat and Instagram and Google are to you now. Mm-hmm. You know, it was this conduit between alternative and new and youth culture, sort of addressed in a serious way, mm-hmm. but at the same time a lot of fun and in a real approachable way. And it was news and culture by young people for young people.
Right.
And it was just an amazing, amazing experience. I still have really great friends. We actually all have a Facebook page called I Worked at MTV When MTV Was Cool.
Yeah, I've seen that page. I've had Nina Blackwood on the show. She was before your time, but I've had Nina Blackwood on the show. Yeah, and she was great. Love talking about it. See, it was a real interesting time period. I was doing some research on you. I'm almost exactly 1 year older than you.
Except are you July baby?
I'm a July 6th, so that's how close. She's a July 4th baby, by the way. Allison is, but yeah. So that was like I was around your age when you were on MTV, and I want to say that it must have been really amazing because I think MTV, in all seriousness, made a really big impact on that election in '92.
It really did. You know, it was so amazing that how we even got involved. And I can remember sitting in an office, and I had just joined the MTV news department. And I was I'm nerdy by nature. I just am. Mm. And the news director came through and said, "You like politics, right?" Yeah. And he goes, "Okay, go to New Hampshire next week with Tabitha Thorne. You're going to be her producer." And I was like, "Oh, okay." Mm-hmm. And then I went home for the weekend, and I was a little bit bummed at first. I was like, "I want to interview you, too." I don't know.
Yeah.
So we went to New Hampshire, and I remember distinctly calling back and saying, "Okay, there's this guy from Arkansas, and he's got him eating out of the palm of their hands."
Yeah.
And it was Bill Clinton, and he was in school gyms, and there just weren't that many people around. And it was so interesting to interview the candidates along that way. I don't think I came home after that trip. I just was on the road that whole year. Because we were asking questions about like student loans and gay rights and things that people who were, you know, in their late teens and early 20s really wanted to know about from the candidates. And I was always amazed at how responsive the candidates were. They just, you know, no one was asking those questions except for us. And I think it was a way in which we really tried to make it fun and accessible and a way into the political system so it didn't feel like it was something for your mom, your dad, and your grandma. I was like, oh, wait, this is going to impact my life. I better get on board.
Well, as someone who watched MTV since its inception pretty much in the early 80s, it was that time period. It was during that election when you guys were covering that and you and Tabitha were on top of it all that I said, man, this MTV could really make a difference. And I really think it did, in a big way. I think, you know, I think MTV was responsible for getting a lot of young people out to vote.
And also getting engaged in the political process in different ways, whether it was activism or just thinking about something outside of themselves, getting to see people like themselves or not like themselves across the country. That was a big part of MTV's impact. And the reason I know it was, you know, and someone's like, this was so good, this thing I did. I don't mean to sound like that. It's just that I know that people like you and I are full-on grown-ups, and people still talk to me about
it. Oh, yeah.
And so it really had, it was a real moment in time. You capture lightning in a bottle a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I really feel like the whole MTV News, Rock the Vote, Choose or Lose thing was really lightning in a bottle during those 2 or 3 years.
There's no question about it. There's absolutely no question about it. And you won a Peabody Award for that.
Yeah, that was an amazing, amazing day. I remember I got the award, and I actually gave it to my mom and dad because, you know, I think they had wanted me to go to law school, and my sister's a dentist and all fancy, and I was like, I'm going to go work at MTV after I spent all this money on college.
So you gave them the award, and it's now what? Is it? It's a bunch of junk. No, well, like,
yeah, that's one of those things that I picked up in the basement, and I thought, I actually don't think this is junk.
Yeah. All right, listen, Allison, hang on, okay?
Sure.
All right. Allison Stewart is with us. She is the author of a book called Junk, Digging Through America's Love Affair with Stuff. It's a really terrific book. And we're going to talk all about how much we love stuff and junk. All that's coming up right here on 720 WGN. But we'll take a quick break. All right. Welcome back to the show. It's the Steve Cochran Show. And I'm Nick DiGilio filling in for Steve Cochran here till 10 a.m. Allison Stewart is my guest. She is the author of the book Junk, Digging Through America's Love Affair with Stuff. Allison, welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
All right. Now let's talk about, the first part of this book is you basically explaining how this book came to be. Let everybody know you had to clean out your parents' loaded basement.
It's true. I want to say this book is a judgment-free zone for anybody who has junk. I'm not telling you have to get rid of it. I'm not telling you that it's bad. I'm just sharing with you the first part of it, a personal experience. My folks were Depression-era kids, and they were lovely, educated, sophisticated people, but they had this basement just that was loaded full of junk. And when they passed away, my sister and I had to clean it out. And it was such an emotional experience. It was such a challenging experience. It was such a crazy experience that when I would tell people, hey, they say, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, clean out my parents' basement. It's got so much junk in it. Everyone I spoke to, from the janitor at my kid's school to a friend of mine who's a lawyer who put Bernie Madoff behind bars, they all had a junk story about themselves, about their fathers, about their kids. Everybody had a junk story. And at the time, I was looking for a new project to write. I had just finished another book, and I thought, you know what? There's something here. The idea that I can turn on my TV, and there are at least 20 shows about junk. This is kind of amazing.
It is. I mean, you mentioned these shows on TV. Hoarders is a different kind of thing. But you talked to the people from Pawn Stars, the producers from Pawn Stars in here, and there's Storage Wars, all of this stuff about junk.
It's so universal. I mean, I was joking to my sister, like, you know, Obama's got a junk drawer somewhere, and you know Joe Biden does, because he just does. But the idea that we have so much stuff around us, we accumulate so much, and I really wanted to investigate. I really put on my journalist hat and said, let me do a who, what, where, when, and why of why there's so much stuff in our society, in our culture in the 21st century.
Yeah.
Who is susceptible to getting it? How are people dealing with it? What can we do about it? I didn't want it to be a doomsday book. They're very good books. I don't want to speak disparagingly of them, ones that tell us how we're killing the world and polluting the oceans, but they sometimes leave you feeling, I feel a sense of despair when I finish reading them.
Yeah.
Which is why I wanted to make the last part of the book about people who are offering creative solutions about what to do with junk. Because I can tell you one thing I learned after 2 years of investigating junk, it's not going away.
Did you ever?
You have to learn to manage it.
When
you have to learn to deal with it.
When you started this book, did you ever think that you would find so many avenues to go down? I mean, the book is full of so many stories in so many different places that have different feelings and different avenues and stuff. Did you know, like, for instance, this one of my favorite chapters in the book, Allison, is the cantankerous, is maybe not the right word. The kind of a-hole-ish artist, artist from Austin, who's got this gigantic sculpture made of garbage and junk, and it's like this. But you're talk about the experience of it. And I love the fact that you just you verbatim put the interview in the book, which just cracked me up. But tell everybody about this guy.
Yeah, it's a really interesting. If you go to Google today, go to Google this place. It's called the Cathedral of Junk in Austin, Texas. And it is this colossus, chaotic, three-story sculpture that this artist named Vince Hanneman has in his backyard. And he's been building it for years. And you go in, and it's fantastical. It's sort of you can't believe what you see. You know, like, there's a toilet bowl full of rubber ducks. There are crutches. There's a whole entire curtain of CDs. There are random people's driver's licenses tucked like a wall of those. And, you know, you see it and you think, this is really extraordinary. And sometimes people go in and they're sort of quiet and it's shrine-like. It's got a very interesting shrine-like feel. Yeah. And I interviewed the guy, and he's an eccentric, obviously. Yeah. But he also... it was a real window into his mind, and he is both self-effacing and has a sense of grandiosity. He turned on me in the middle of the interview.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In a big way. I had a friend, this is a sidebar, I had a friend who used to work at Yahoo when messaging first started in comments, and they said, as soon as the word Hitler comes up, it's over. Mm-hmm. Right, in the comment section, this guy brought up Hitler in the middle of the interview.
Right.
I was like, oh, this is not going to go well. And he ultimately kind of throws me out. And one of the things I really wanted to do was to get his thought process as an artist, his thoughts on junk. But like you said, I put it verbatim in there because he has always complained that all the interviews that have been done with him have been edited and taken out of context.
Right.
So I just transcribed the whole thing and just
Put it in the book.
Well, it's great. It's a really entertaining moment in the book. Well, Allison, since we're running a little short on time here, do you have advice for people? What is the thing that you learned the most about dealing with junk? If like Mary,
yeah, how do you get ahead of junk?
Yeah,
it's really there's two things. One is I think prevention is one. It's hard to say that doesn't help you right now, Mary. I'm sorry, but the idea of being mindful about everything that you touch and you bring into your house. Just take that second. Do I want it? Do I need it? Does it make me happy? If it does, great. Like, I'm not anti-junk. It's just, like, I want people to think about it. I mean, too, there are lots of professionals out there to help you. Part of the book, I go on junk ride-alongs with junk removal companies, including a Chicago company, Junk Vets, out of Chicago. And there are people out there who are trained to help you. The way that some people need personal trainers, don't be afraid of professional organizers and junk removal companies. I know some people think they're kind of scams. They're not. They're really dedicated professionals who can help you. And can I do a quick plug?
Yeah, of course.
I'm going to be at the bookseller in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday at 6 p.m.
Oh, this Saturday at 6?
This Saturday at 6, okay. April 2nd. So if you're interested, please come down. We can talk about MTV and junk, and it'll be fun.
Well, great. And the book is terrific, Allison, really. And I want to say this. As someone who, I lived in an apartment for 15 years, okay? And it was a big one-bedroom apartment. I had had the two people who lived with me, you know, left stuff behind. There was a girlfriend and a wife. They left stuff behind, and I had accumulated a lot of stuff, and it piled up and piled up. And I got to say this. When I moved, and I had to go through all of that and get rid of it, I have to tell you, it was cleansing. It was.
It really is,
Seriously, it's unbelievably cathartic. And I felt like a weight had been lifted off of me. With all of this stuff that had accumulated in my house, I got rid of it all when I moved into a smaller place with someone else, and I had to get rid of a ton of stuff. And I got to tell you, as tough as it was, and sometimes it was really, really hard, as you can attest, but when it's over, you feel a sense of accomplishment, and you feel like a weight has been lifted.
You really do. And if you're thinking about cleaning up, you probably should.
Yeah. Allison, such a great pleasure. And you're at Booksellers on a Saturday at 6 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
You're in Chicago. All right, Allison, real fun talking to you, and your book is great.
Oh, thanks so much. I really appreciate you having me on.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Allison Stewart had a massive crush on her.
Oh.
Yeah, massive crush.
Really?
I don't know
Does she know this?
She does now because she's on hold. Oh. All right, we have to take a break here. Big
He's
story.
He's blushing,
Big
Allison.
Story is next.
He's turning red, man.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1. The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
Yes. Steve Cochran Show. Nick DiGilio. That's me filling in for Steve Cochran this morning. And it is time for Breakfast with the Blackhawks, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. Big game tonight for the Blackhawks in Minnesota. Oh, God, I almost said it like I was from Minnesota. I said Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Minnesota. it's a 6:30 pregame here on the WGN and the 7 o'clock puck drop. And one of the guys that's going to be on the ice playing in that game tonight, one of my favorite Blackhawks, joins us for Breakfast with the Blackhawks. It's Nicholas Jalmerson. Hey, Nicholas, how you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm great. How are you?
Good. Good, good, good. Glad to have you on. Are you excited about tonight's game? The Wild seem to have your number this season.
Yeah. They've been kind of almost dominating us, to be honest with you. And last game we had here with the outdoor series with Canem and Barry. So I think the guys are... pretty motivated today to try to have a good game and put up a good show for your guys in Chicago.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's just the regular season because you always beat them in the postseason, Nicholas. You take care of them pretty good in the postseason.
Yeah, postseason is a different animal,
right.
But it's always fun to win, and your life always gets a little bit tougher when you lose. So I prefer winning all the time.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Nick, how important were these last two games, getting these wins against Calgary and Vancouver the last two times out, given the way you guys had been struggling a bit?
Yeah, it's huge for us. Obviously, we clinched with last game's win as well, and that kind of gets you an ease and know that you're definitely in the playoffs. But at the same time, we have to keep fighting here for putting ourselves in as good of a situation as possible. And I know we kind of played against two teams that had a pretty beat-up roster and a lot of call-ups as well. So I think it'll be a different test for us today to play against a playoff team. So I think this is a better test for us to see where we're at right now to play here in Minnesota against a really good team.
As a defenseman, how good do you feel when you have a guy like Ron Darling in the net, knowing that Ron Darling, yeah, former Met, Scott Darling in the net, knowing that that Crow has been out.
We have a lot of confidence in Darls. We know what the type of goal he is, and we're really comfortable with our goal situation here in Chicago. Crow has been one of the best, if not the best, goalie in the league this year, and Dawes has been playing really well since Crow has been down. So we know that we're going to get the goaltending either way, and we have Leighton backing up now. That's a good goalie as well. So you can never be too deep on that spot.
What's the challenge, Nicholas, when so many changes were in new guys were added before the trade deadline? Is it a challenge to get a rhythm going with these guys and with Q mixing up the lines every once in a while? How is that a challenge for you guys?
I don't know. I don't think we can blame it on that we didn't have a lot of success in those games. I just think it was a period during the season that you go through every season, go through those kind of downs, and that was the first real big low that we've had all year. So, I'd rather see us go through that 10 games before the playoffs instead of in the playoffs or a couple games before playoffs. So hopefully we can get on a little bit of a roll here and build our confidence up to when it matters the most.
Still, some of you guys have played together for so long. When you're out there with Duncan, do you guys have kind of a sense without even really knowing that, do you kind of feel where he is on the ice?
Yeah, you kind of learn each other's tendencies, and I usually know where Duncan is. I'm lucky to play with him, obviously. He's one of the best players out there, and It's exactly what you're saying. You kind of know where he is when you're going down back towards your own end, trying to do a breakout. You know where he wants the puck and what he usually does with it, and so you kind of are one step ahead all the time because you know what he usually does with the puck, and hopefully he knows what's going on when I get the puck too. Turnover every single time, so we have to back me up.
I don't know about that. How much of a difference has it made getting your countryman, Marcus Kruger, back out there the last two games?
Yeah, I think he's been playing really well for, being gone for 3 months or whatever it is. He's been coming in, and he's a type of player that we really need in our team, in our system to play hockey. He's a really good penalty killer, and he plays well defensively, and we have so much talent up front, and we usually score two or three goals a game, so it's just a matter of how we play team defense. That's the way we win games, and he's one of those cases that helps out a lot in that aspect.
We got a couple of questions here, Nicholas, from listeners for Breakfast with a Blackhawk. Andrew in Park Ridge says, on game day, what's your biggest fear and when do the nerves start?
Nerves, I'd say after the warm-up, it usually starts. The nerves start to creep on you a little bit. So I'd say right after the warm-ups when you go back to the locker room.
Okay. And here's a question from Mark in Chicago. Which Blackhawk could actually play for the Bears? How about that one, Nick?
Ooh, good question. Well, if we're just going to... I don't know. We don't really have any bigger guys, but I'll think I have to go with... that's a tough question.
Yeah,
I think I Shaw. What about Shaw, Nick?
No chance.
He's not. not size wise,
no,
but
chance.
He would get tossed around out there.
Well, yeah, but he'd be giving them a battle.
Yeah, oh yeah, he would battle for sure. He would probably the hardest out of all of them out there, but he would also get crushed, I think.
That's hysterical. Hey, Nicholas, before we let you go, man, do you ever, I talked to you a few years back about going to Simon's in Andersonville.
Yeah.
Have you gone there and had the glug?
I actually haven't, but I went on a little site. I took my... my in-laws on a little sightseeing in Andersonville, and I drove by the bar there, and I parked right outside of it. I actually didn't go in, but I parked right outside, so I know exactly where it is.
It's I mean, that neighborhood.
One day I'll make my way in there.
Nicholas, you have to. It's the day before Thanksgiving is when they start making the glug. And it's tremendous. I think you'd love it. So I highly recommend getting your family to go into Simon's one night and having some glug.
Yeah, I have to get that going for sure.
Okay, all right, Nicholas. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. Good luck with tonight's game. I know you guys are going to win it.
Yeah. Ron Darling is probably going to be.
That's well right. Played. Thank you very much. All right. Take it easy, Hammer. See you later. Yeah. There you
Thanks,
go. Giving me crap because I said Ron
great.
Darling. That was perfect.
That was
That
great.
Made my day. That made my day right there. I just got dissed by Jomerson because I said Ron Darling instead of Scott Darling. You know, and Ron Darling is always, like, I always say Ron Darling instead of Scott Darling because he drives me nuts during the baseball playoffs because he sounds exactly like James Woods. And whenever I'm watching,
I hadn't really thought about
he
that.
He sounds exactly like James Woods. And every time I watch the baseball playoffs and Darling is doing the play-by-play or the color, I'm like, that's James Woods is in the booth. So every time I hear the name Darling, I always think Ron Darling, and of course. But that
well,
was
see,
good.
I was going to let it go.
No, you no,
I
no,
was
no.
going to let it go.
And Hammer didn't.
He didn't.
No. Which is the way it should be, quite frankly. All right, we got to take a break. The Hawks game, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock puck drop right here on WGN. That was fantastic. We'll be right back. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. Still stinging after getting burned by the Hammer. I got to tell you, it's one of my proudest moments as a broadcaster here at WGN. Was getting
that was great.
That was great. Yeah, he put me right.
I don't know how
it.
Familiar he is with Ron Darling. I don't think it matters.
I don't think it matters at all.
I don't think it matters. And yeah. I will stand by what I said. I think Andrew Shaw has the mentality to play for the Bears of anybody on that team.
Well, that's what he thinks.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He's like. The little bear thinks he's bigger.
Right.
Right?
That's exactly right. The little bear who thinks he's bigger. Mary, you had some stuff you wanted to say here.
Yes. Derek Boersma, he got a pair of tickets to Sensory Overload at the Montgomery Club on April 14th. It's a unique three-hour foodie adventure that includes the five senses and explores Chicago's culinary scene. You can get tickets and details at chicagotribune.com/sensoryoverload. He also got a pair of tickets to see West Side Story. It's one of my faves. At the Paramount Theater in Aurora, now playing through April 24th. For tickets, call the box office at 630-896-6666 or go online at ParamountAurora.com. And then we were lucky enough to get a food drop from San Fratello's.
Yeah, good pizza.
Which is now opening in Naperville tomorrow. And they're giving away free small cheese pizzas. You can get thin or pan all day long. Oh, from 11 to 9 p.m. It's Chicago's originally South Side Pizza, and they are the ones that invented cutting it in squares. So,
well, as God intended.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
As our staff was enjoying it. So
yeah,
is there any left?
I don't think so. Engineering and news came down, and that's
oh, that's
the end
it.
Of that.
Oh, that's the end of that.
Oh, well, yeah. So much for that.
Thank
Wait
you, Mary.
For sales.
Thank you, Mary. Real quick, before we get out of here, I threw out the text question of the day. If you guys have appointment TV, I happen to be obsessed with the People versus O.J. Simpson right now, and I watch it live every week, and I love it. But here are some of the ones that are also coming in. Ray Donovan, 847, Ray Donovan on Showtime. People really like. 773, area code, Shades of Blue on NBC with J-Lo. You know, I saw the commercials for that, and I really love Ray Liotta, but I can't stand Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, what happened to that? Is it still on?
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's doing
oh,
really well.
I was going to start to watch it, and I thought, eh.
It's, no. I haven't watched it. I can't get past her.
I'm still watching her on Idol, which is almost done.
Yep, forever.
Couple
right?
more weeks, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How about this one, 847? I love Dance Moms on Lifetime. Now, is that when the
moms of the little pageant kids.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I've never watched that one.
Vinyl on HBO. I gotta say, I kind of stopped watching it. I was with it for a while, but this last episode was pretty ridiculous. So I'm pretty much done with Vinyl. 630 area code says Hawaii 5-0. Now I'm assuming it's the new Hawaii 5-0. I'm assuming that this person is not the president of the Jack Lord Film Club, the Jack Lord Fan Club, but. I have not seen this. Well, it's not new anymore, the new Hawaii 5-0, because it's been on for a bunch of years. But have you guys seen the reboot of the of Hawaii 5-0?
I've seen it once or twice.
Yeah, what do you think?
I haven't seen it three or four times.
So that's it. That sums
I,
it
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't really brought me back. But I was never that big a fan.
Of the original?
Of the original.
Okay. And then The Good Wife is a must.
So. Well, good thing Andrea is not here.
Oh,
it's
so
her
she,
favorite show
it's
in the
her
world.
Favorite show in the world.
Yep.
The Good Wife. Wow. Okay.
I like Getting Away with Murder.
Getting Away with Murder.
Except it did kind of go downhill a little bit after the first season, but just finished its next season and it's getting good again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
too many people.
Shonda Rhimes, pretty
too
much,
many people get away with murder, though. But I guess that's the point,
that's
right?
That's the title of the show.
Yeah, I figured that out from it. Took a while.
Okay. They called it Not Getting Away with Murder. Yeah.
Then it would be a different story. That would be a completely different story. So Ron Darling is going to be on Getting Away with Murder earlier.
Really?
Yeah, I heard about
no
that.
No kidding.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a break here. 720 WGN.